female, but Cherry, Jason and Cherry had a little baby girl this week. The baby had to come through a C-section, but mom's doing well, baby's doing well, and I'm trying to remember her middle name, but her first name is Hope. We like that. In a week when it appeared as if not much hope after the election on Tuesday night, hope was born. Amen? There is hope. There is hope because our God is alive and well. Well, I want to open in prayer, and I don't know how. We've been going through a series, What to Do on the Worst Day of Your Life, and I just love the theme, attack. So I don't know how I'm going to get 2 and 3 or 4 messages wrapped up in one, but by God's grace, I hope you're fired up this morning because we serve a risen Lord. Amen. We serve a conquering King, and He is alive and well. So Jesus, thank You for the privilege of being in Your house this morning. Lord, thank You for the privilege that we're the house of God, and we get the opportunity to carry Your presence everywhere we go. But Lord, thank You that we can corporately come together and lift up Your name. And I pray, Father God, that Your word challenge us today. I know I love that word, but I do. I pray that Your word challenges us to not sit on the seat and wait and observe, but to stand up and say we are going to fight with the Lord on our side. Father, bless Cherry. Bless Jason today. Just pray for a quick recovery over Cherry. And anyone that's sick today, Lord, we just speak healing over Brittany, Justin's wife. We speak healing and health over that the baby in the womb and over Brittany. Lord, whatever's causing any ailment, thank You that by Your stripes she is healed. And we declare that today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I figured this would happen. When we went to a 9 o'clock service and 11 o'clock service, a lot of people were coming at 9 o'clock, and I told everyone, just wait. When it gets colder, when it gets darker out, there are going to be more people coming to second service than first service. So I think it may balance out a little bit easier today. But good to see all of you. Can you believe it's like 32 degrees outside? Now, I don't know if I'm ready for that. We do have power. Yes. Amen. Thank You, Lord, for power. Well, I don't know about you, but Tuesday night, Wednesday morning could have been one of the worst days of my life. Did you feel that way at all? If you didn't, thank you, Pastor Tom.
I did it because I heard from Him.
Amen. That's it. You sit there and you watch. But I want to say this. I grieved as I watched the returns come in, and people in this state want to redefine marriage. And then people that want to legalize marijuana. And I just thought, Lord, help us. I realize it made me open up my eyes a little bit deeper to the understanding. You know, Jeremiah wept over the nation of Israel. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. And I thought, Lord, I just want to weep over this nation. Not in a bad way, but I weep because people are being led to the slaughter. I weep because of the consequences of choices we make. But I also know this, that we serve the God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when we look through history, how do you think the disciples must have felt, the early church, when they were being burnt at the stake? How do you think, you know, honestly, there are, if you study the reports even within the churches, when Civil War took place, people thought, you know, President Abraham Lincoln was accused of being the Antichrist? I don't know if you go, whoa. So there are things that have happened in our history and in the history of the world that people felt overwhelmed, but We look to him. He is our hope and our life. And last week, I read at the beginning of the service, Psalms 121. I felt like the Holy Spirit brought me back to that this week. And I was studying it and looking at it. It says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? And mountains, or another translation says the hills, that was always a place of authority or government. So he's saying, I look up to the mountains. I look up to the high places. I look up to government, the authority in the land. Does my help come from there? No, it does not. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. He will not let you stumble and fall. The one who watches over you will not sleep. And I say yes and amen. And then I begin remembering that God used an ungodly Pharaoh to spare his people. You remember that? When the Israelites were in, they were going through a famine, and Joseph thought he had lost everything that God had purposed in his life, and he gets elevated to second in command in Egypt, and God uses an ungodly leader to save God's people. So God's ways are so much bigger and higher than our ways. Amen? So I just say, we can trust the Lord. All right? We can trust God. God promises that in Malachi there will be a distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous. I look at it this way. I was praying. We went to a pastor's thing Wednesday morning. And I said, Lord, the darker it gets, the brighter our light shines. If I had a flashlight on this morning, you wouldn't hardly see if it was lit up. But man, when it's dark out. I was working on our refrigerator this week, and I couldn't see. But you get a flashlight underneath there, and you could see everything. And God's going to allow our lights to so shine before men that they're going to see our good works, and they're going to glorify our Father in heaven. And then this week, actually, Pastor Tom emailed this to me. I think Patty was reading it out of a devotional. And I want to read it to you because I think it helps set in stone what God is doing. It's by Francis Roberts. It says this, mine is the wisdom, I've got it up here so you can see, mine is the wisdom and the honor and the power and the glory and shall be so forever and ever. I make the nations to rise and I make the kingdoms to fall, but my throne shall be established in Zion and my righteousness throughout all the earth. When everything is shaken, it's the kingdom of God that will stand. I am never in defeat. I am held in abeyance at this present time by the selfishness and willfulness of man. Yes, the going forth of my justice and of my mercy is obstructed by the ignorance of men and by the lack of faith in even my children. But not dismayed and ill of heart and spirit. Haven't you read how I could not go, how I could not do mighty works in their midst because of unbelief? It is no less true today, and it is not in one place, but in many places, even throughout the length and breadth of the land. Be aware of me. Not beware, but be aware of me. I can accomplish great things through even one yielded, believing vessel. Remember David and how I brought a great victory for the armies of Israel through his courage, when all others were paralyzed by fear. Move on. Don't ever entertain the thought of retreat. Others may actually be headed for retreat. Keep your eyes on me as I have counseled you so many times before. And I put this last statement, carry my presence wherever you go. Amen? God's not done. He's on the throne. Which is amazing to me that after all of this, God lined it up that we would be on attack today. Our message is attack. We live in the greatest time of history ever known to mankind. And we have the privilege of being alive today and being used by God. And so here we've been going through the worst day of your life. And we've looked at David wept when he and his men got back to Ziklag. And Ziklag is a picture of our life between the prophetic promise of God and the fulfillment of that prophetic promise. And here's David in Ziklag. He gets there. Everything's gone. their marriages, their wives, their children, all their possessions gone. Everything's burnt up. And he and his men wept. They didn't get bitter. Remember week two, we talked about bitterness. Then week three, encourage yourself in God. We've got to encourage ourselves in the Lord and then get a word from God. We can't receive a word from God until we encourage ourselves in the Lord. We get a word from God. We reorient our vision. Lord, you are faithful. From beginning to end, you are faithful. Amen? And then we regain our passion. Pastor Justin brought the word last week. And so today we look at David and his men. They went after the enemy and were willing to attack. The Amalekites had stolen their wives, their children, all they had. They were badly outnumbered, but that did not matter. They were fighting for their families. And this Old Testament battle provides us with a powerful metaphor to help us understand how serious our struggle is with principalities and powers of darkness. These wicked spirit beings who are intent on ruling the world and ruining our lives. Martin Luther, the whole Lutheran church was birthed out of Martin Luther. Great revelation God gave him. And the Catholic Church actually tried to kill him. Right? But Martin Luther said this. I like it. It says, once you have identified the work of the devil in your life, you need to adopt an aggressive fighting attitude and attack it. Amen? The enemy can't kill you, but he wants to rob the promises that God has for you according to his word. We've got to adopt an aggressive fighting attitude and attack it and go after the enemy because he is defeated if we walk in Christ. So 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 17 through 19. It says, David fought them. He went after the Amalekites. He fought them from dusk until the evening of the next day. I mean, that's a long battle for his men to fight, and they were already fatigued. 200 of them had stopped. They were so tired. 400 of them went after the Amalekites. And none of them got away except 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder, or anything else they had taken. David brought everything back. David fought them until he won. We need to think about that for a minute. David fought them until he won. One thing I know about David, he was a man who was willing to fight, right? He killed the lion, he killed the bear, he goes after Goliath. And it's interesting, he made the statement, the battle belongs to the Lord. Some people sit back and they say, well, the battle belongs to the Lord. But when David defeated Goliath, he already stood up and said, who defies the army of God? I'm going to go take out the giant. And as he's marching and the Goliath is putting him down, he says, you're going to die, buddy. The battle belongs to the Lord. But he was had an aggressive posture, knowing the Holy Spirit would use him to defeat the enemy. Does that make sense? So what I love about David, he was a fighting man. Can you imagine? I mean, I was kind of chuckling about it, thinking about it. All of the wives and the children knowing David, underneath their breath, this enemy has them captured. But I would imagine the kids were probably talking, oh boy, they just wait till Dad catches up with them. You know what I'm saying? They knew that in their father was a heart to go after them and fight for them. He wasn't a lay down kind of a guy and let the enemy run over him. I'm sure they were thinking, okay, if we just kind of walk slowly and keep this, Dad's going to get here soon. My husband's coming after me. He's willing to fight. Amen? Dads, husbands, today I say, is that what your wife and kids would say about you? Oh, you just wait. You just wait. Man, you messed with the wrong guy. My dad's on this. And when things happen, my daughter was at Green River. She's taking a class at Green River Community College. And she really stood up in her class for the Lord. And so this last week, I think it was Thursday, a young lady in the class said, can I talk to you after class? So she goes, okay. Well, after class, she talks to her and says, I know you're a Christian. I've been sick for 9 months. Will you pray for me? And so she prays for her, and then she calls me and says, Dad, this is what just happened. Will you pray for this girl? And I thought, thank you, Lord. She knows I'm willing to fight. Jordan was at the house, so we prayed for her. Amen? Dads, are you willing to fight? Some of you need to get back your spirit of fight. It's not the one fighting the hardest at the beginning and then gives up that wins. It's the one fighting hardest at the end. Amen? We're in a wrestling match, but our fight is not against flesh and blood, but spiritual powers, Ephesians 6:12 says. The enemy has or is trying to steal our children and their innocence. The enemy has tried to steal our marriages, tried to steal God's definition of marriage. The divorce rate is high in America, but God has said, and I say today, are we willing to fight for our wives and fight for our children and fight for our marriages, fight for our sons and daughters? Amen? The enemy knows the power of blessing from generation to generation, so he's in an assault against us. Matthew 11, verse 12. So I want to talk about we're attacking, but getting back our spirit of fight. Matthew 11, 12 says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. The kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, forceful men lay hold of it. David had to be willing to get up and go after an attack. We've got to be willing to use the arsenal God's given us to attack the enemy. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, Paul's saying, fight the good fight of faith. The only good fight I know, I was telling our foundations class this, is the fight I win. Right? Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Taking hold isn't about heaven. Once you die, you don't need to take hold of anything. It's talking about right here on planet Earth, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life. Take hold of the promises that God has given you and called you to in and according to his word. Take hold of them, but it's a fight. If you lose the fight, you will lose the war. It's like a wrestling match. How many of you ever wrestled before? Either in school or just for fun. If you have three younger brothers, you learned how to wrestle. And they all grew bigger than me. Then I learned how to become a mediator or something. Right? But the thing I know about wrestling, the minute you give up, you're toast. You've got to stand and fight and keep fighting, even when you're fatigued. I played football, but I'll tell you, wrestling, the workouts for wrestling was harder than football because there's no one to back you up when you get tired. You don't get to get off the thing and take a breather. When you're exhausted, you're in trouble. So you had to condition yourself. Man, this is a wrestling match. I've got some promises up here that I want to give away this morning. But I'm asking you to not destroy these, okay? Because I need to use them for second service. All right. Who would like purpose in their life? Okay. Whoever would like purpose, come up and get it. All right. Who would like their kids to be saved, serving God? All right. Yes. Who would like a strong marriage? Hallelujah, sister. Come on. Woo! Hold on. Let's see if I can get a word from the Lord. All right. Who else would like a strong marriage? Actually, you know what? That is good. Who said it? Yes. Who wants passion? Passion for the Lord. All right, come on, sister. Who needs vision? Who would like some vision? You got to come up and get it. Thank you, Esther. Who needs healing in their body? Physical healing. Come on. We've got an energy. Who needs some joy this morning? Who wants some joy? No takers for joy. Oh, okay, there we go. Yes, come on. Who needs some hope this morning? Yeah.
Amen.
Who needs purity? Well, you all do. Who wants purity? Who wants to fight for purity? All right. You gotta stand up and get it, though. Thank you. All right. Listen to me. God wants you to get back your fight, to rise up in your spirit, re-enter the war, and regain the zeal to fight. Many times we quit just before the victory comes. David could have rolled over and said, we're just too tired, we're too wore out, we're not going after the enemy. He had to physically do something. He had to do something, and then God supernaturally enabled he and his men to defeat the enemy. The fact is this, the only difference between the person who is defeated and the one who wins is that the person who wins got back up one more time than he was knocked down. Amen?
Amen.
You want a key to victory? Just get up one more time than you've been knocked down. You get knocked down, get back up. Right? So, Lord, help us. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. The deceiver, the one who leads in pride and self-rule, the one who led one-third of the angels in heaven in this war of rebellion and self-rule, the one who causes war in the heavenlies, the one who has been cast out and has come to the earth, the one who accuses us believers day and night, is looking for someone to devour. And you think it's not a fight? It's a fight. But I want you to know we're victorious in Christ. Amen? For us today, we have the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us and the authority Jesus gave us through the cross. But here's Jesus a little over 2,000 years ago. I'm going to give you a little history lesson so we understand where we're going. Jesus comes on the scene, and he lives on this earth, and then he dies on a cross. He comes, Jesus, the Messiah, the Redeemer, and he pays the ultimate sacrifice. What did he do it for? What for? Why did he do it? He did it to redeem mankind and restore the relationship between man and God that was broken when Adam moved out of the boundaries and disobeyed God. Adam disobeyed God and was separated from God. Jesus came on the scenes because of sin. The relationship was separated, and he paid the price once and for all so that relationally we could be redeemed and come back into relationship with him. When he died on the cross, the veil, the curtain in the tabernacle, where only one person could go each year, was torn from the top to the bottom. And he said, now you can boldly come in to my presence, to my throne room, and there find grace and mercy in your time of need. Jesus took that sin as his own, and he brought us back to relationship with God. And I say thank you, Jesus, for that. But listen to me. Though Jesus redeemed us relationally, he did not redeem the land that we live in. And let me explain that. God left the enemy in the land. He left the enemy on your field, on the area, the atmosphere, the place that God has called you to live and to plant and to toil and to plow ground and to bear fruit. He left the enemy on that field, and then he gave you the authority to drive the enemy off your land. Amen? One of the biggest lies, and it just bugs me, but it's I want to say rampant, it's It probably is rampant in the body of Christ based on actions. And this is such a huge lie. It's, well, what's going to happen is going to happen. It is what it is. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Because David could have said, what's going to happen is going to happen. And the enemy would have stolen everything he had. He was willing to get a word from God and go after the enemy and fight. The promises of God. You want passion? You want a strong marriage? You want purity? You want healing? Oh, what's going to happen is going to happen. No, it's not. The promises of God are real and sure. We've got to apprehend them and go after him. Amen? Come on. Let's get it in our spirits today. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to us. Matthew 28, 18. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So just relax. Kick back. Wait for God to do something. No. Now go, for I am with you always. Matthew 16, 19. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I want to loose salvation. I want to bind the works of the enemy over people, over friends, over family, and I want to loose the power of God. Don't tell me, you know, you're sick and I guess you just have to deal. I guess it's God's will. No, it's not. By his stripes we are healed. Amen. Luke 10, 19, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. He gave us the authority to do what? To drive the enemy off of our land. God gave David the authority through his word. He gives us the authority through his word and the power of his name to do what? Drive the enemy back and take back everything he's stolen. Amen? Man, here's another thing I just hate, and I've said it before. I hate claiming any generational sickness. Well, does it run in your family? I don't care if it runs in the family. It's broken and severed from this point on because I run with the blood of Jesus. And by his stripes, his blood poured out on his back, I am healed. It's that simple, right? Oh, well, we just roll over. Let the enemy have it. Man, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, it is finished. He didn't say, oops, I missed something. I didn't take care of the enemy. He said, it's finished. And then he authorized us to go. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, and it's a picture of deliverance, of redemption. They come out of bondage through the Red Sea. They're baptized. It's a picture of baptism. And they're going into the promised land. What's the first thing they encountered going into the promised land? Giants, the enemy. Well, I thought you gave us the land, God. He did, but he gave them the authority to drive the enemy out of the land, just like he's given us the authority to drive the enemy out of the land. Can I have these cards back? Are there any others? Oh, do you want to keep it? Thank you. Thank you, Alan. You know what the sad fact is? The enemy says, hope? I want that hope back. Strong marriage? I want that back. And we just about, okay. I thought it was for me. Oh, no. Oh, no, it must just be for the person on the left and on the right. Amen, sister. By the end of the message, come up here and get it. Amen? That's what I'm talking about. The Bible says that our weapons are not carnal, but mighty to pull down strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We take captive every thought and teach them to obey Christ. The greatest battle that you will ever face is the battle in the mind. And I say to you, don't allow your mind to be a landing pad for every demonic thought that comes your way. We just kind of stand back and our mind, unguarded, unprotected, and planes fly in, the enemy throws in a thought in our mind, and we just, runway's clear, go ahead, land. Oh, I'm nothing. I'm not forgiven. I'm worthless. There is no hope for tomorrow. My kids are never going to serve God. This marriage is over. I'm going to die. Healing isn't for me, right? And we become a landing pad. You know what we need to do? We need to stand out there and say, I am more than a conqueror. You better get away. I'm shooting you down, plane. I am not going to let that thought land in my mind. Tuesday night, I'm thinking a few things, but then I just begin to worship the Lord. Amen. And begin to see through God's word. I'm not letting these thoughts land in my mind. It's not over. It's worth it. We're not defeated. God uses a remnant. He always uses the one or the two. He loves overwhelming odds. Don't you know? Amen? Amen. You can't let the enemy lie in your mind, in your marriage, everything. There's a battle in your mind. It's just, I could go on and on for an hour just with that alone. We've got to learn to stop those thoughts. As Pastor Tom said, don't take the bait. If bitterness is there, just step right over it and keep going. Come on. Don't take the bait. Guard your mind. The devil would rather you fight him with willpower and mind power and attitude and positive thinking and New Age philosophy and yoga and everything else you want to fight with. Yeah, yoga. I meant to say that. I mean, there's a whole philosophy behind that stuff we have to be careful of. There's probably stretches and exercises too, and you can, I don't know, meditate on God's word and stretch and exercise. But let's examine the arsenal of divine weapons. Our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty. They are divine weapons to the pulling down of strongholds. I'm not going to go over each one in depth. Listen, if you don't have the book, get the book and read it. What to do on the worst day of your life. I don't want to go double up what the author says in there, but I encourage you to read the chapter on attack. But our divine weapons, number one is the Word of God. Jesus prevailed against Satan in the wilderness by saying, it is written. The enemy came and he said, it's written, it's written, it's written. He knew the word. The way we overcome the lies of the devil is not through human reasoning, but through boldly speaking the word of God. This week, I was going to get a little discouraged until God gave me Psalms 121. Where do I find my help? From the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. Who had vision? Who had vision? All of a sudden, you get God's word in your heart and in your spirit. Man, the plans, God has good plans for me. God is not going to leave me or forsake me. And you start getting a word from God and you're hanging on to it. And the enemy's trying to take your vision away and what you see. Hold on. God, you took Joseph and he was discouraged and thought he was done, but you elevated him to second in command. I'm taking that promise for my life. I don't understand what you're doing right now, but my vision is on you. I fix my eyes on you, the author and perfecter of my faith. Amen? You get God's word in you. God's word is a weapon to take the lie of the enemy when he's trying to steal your vision. You hear me? Another weapon. The name of Jesus. We're told that every knee in three worlds, in heaven, earth, and hell, must bow to the authority of Jesus' name. And the Bible says we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. Man, I encourage you to go home and read Ephesians chapter 1. Read the whole thing, but especially Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. Chapter 2 says that Christ is seated in heavenly realms with and then the Bible says that we are seated with Christ in heavenly realms. I mean, isn't that awesome to think? We are seated with Christ. Don't ever do this. Okay? We're seated with Christ in heavenly realms, and the enemy is under the feet of Jesus. But we act a lot of times like we're underneath the enemy's feet. We need to stand up and take our place in Christ, seated with Christ. The name of Jesus is powerful. Who had, where's healing? Is healing in here? The yellow one? Who had healing? You've got to apprehend the name of Jesus. I remember a lady in our church years ago, she said, here's what would happen. Every Saturday night, her kids would be healthy all week long. Saturday night would come, her kids would get sick. Hadn't been to church in months. I don't know what's going on. It must be in the water or something. Well, why doesn't it happen Sunday night or Monday night or Tuesday night or Wednesday night or Thursday night or Friday night? It happens every Saturday. Why? Because the enemy's trying to steal healing and life out of your children. Take authority over it. I told her, the next time your kids get sick, you proclaim the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I command you, spirit of infirmity, to go. When she did that, her kids stopped getting sick on Saturday night. We just let sickness run rampant all over the place, and we don't invoke the name of Jesus. It's not your name that counts. It's his name that counts. Every knee must bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Amen? Amen. Our second weapon, our third weapon, the blood of Jesus. Man, there's a lot we could use with the blood of Jesus. Passion, joy. Who had purity? All right. The blood of Jesus. The Bible says that we overcome the enemy. The overcoming believers overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we fear not life, our lives even unto death. The enemy wants to steal your purity, and he wants to say, you're not pure in Christ, but the blood of Jesus covers you. You are cleansed. You are righteous in Christ. You're made whole in Christ. You're a new creation in Christ. The old is gone and the new has come. You've got a new DNA, the blood of Jesus. Yep. Amen? What does God want to do? He wants to not... What's that saying?
He wants to improve me. He wants to remove me so he can flow through me.
Yeah. He doesn't want to improve me. He wants to remove me so that he can flow through me. That's the blood of Jesus. Amen? And the enemy comes and tries to steal the purity. What are you going to do? You're going to fight. Amen? Number four, prayer and praise. Prayer and praise. They're like a double-barreled shotgun. Prayer is the direct path to spiritual power. All through the Bible, men and women of God were men and women of prayer. Jesus was a man of prayer. Before every major event in Jesus' life, he got away and prayed. On the worst day of your life, if you're going to win the battle against the demonic attack, you must give yourself to prayer. The Bible says, we have not because we ask not. Listen, it's going to take, who had kids
yes!
saved? Come on. And what are you going to do?
I'm taking it.
And you're going to pray. And you're going to proclaim. And you're going to declare that my kids will serve God. Amen? And if you don't know what else, if you don't know what to pray, humble yourself and say, help. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. Amen? The second barrel to a shotgun. Barrel is to prayer is praise. Satan cannot function well in the atmosphere saturated with the high praises of God. Praise will also set you free from demonic bondage in the midnight hours of your life. Just ask Paul and Silas. They were in prison and handcuffed up, and they begin to praise, and God set them free. I know it's hard, but if you can praise God on the worst day of your life, not because you feel like it, but because no matter what, God is worthy of praise, it is a powerful form of spiritual warfare. Who needs some joy this morning and some hope? Who had joy and hope? You had, whoop. I thought I had joy there. So what are you going to do? in getting joy and hope. You're going to praise the Lord. I remember vividly one of the most discouraging days of my life, and I was sitting on my face before God, and I mean, I didn't know what to do. And God says, this is going to sound crazy, but God said, stand up and begin to dance. Amen. You talk about crazy. I'm glad I was somewhere where no one could see me, because I can't dance if my life depended on it. Although, I shouldn't even tell you this, but Jasmine's here, I can. Have you ever seen Seven Brides for Seven Brothers?
Yes.
I love that movie. We watched it the other night. I think Mercy was at the house too. And you know that barn raising party when they're dancing around? Jasmine and I were trying to follow the moves. Huh? But God said, you stand up and you dance. And you begin to praise. And I'm telling you what, discouragement and hopelessness broke off. I remember it like it was yesterday. Now I want to live a lifestyle. My Redeemer lives. Man, I've been singing that all week. My Redeemer lives. He's alive. He's well. My Redeemer lives. Number five, our divine arsenal is the cross. All victory flows from the victory God won at the cross of Christ. At the cross, God triumphed over sin, Satan, death, hell, and the grave. Everyone assumed that for Jesus to be the Messiah, he would have to lead an armed revolution and kill the Romans and Herod. Instead, Jesus was put to a shameful death on a tree and became king of the world. The cross. Paul said, I preach Christ and him crucified. Why? Because the cross represents surrender and sacrifice. And when we stay surrendered and walk in humility, it releases God's grace and God's power to work through us. Who wanted a strong marriage? You got to go to the cross and stay surrendered to the Lord. Amen? And when the enemy comes in, what do? We go back to the victory at the cross and we model Christ. He said, take on the very nature of Christ, the attitude that Jesus had. It says, do nothing out of selfishness or selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Amen? The cross of Christ, winning those back. Don't let the enemy steal. And I feel like the Lord put this in my heart this last week. But here's a danger. The danger of compromise. If I was to say one thing that I think is one of the most dangerous attitudes or issues in a Christian's life, it's compromise. This is what compromise means. To make concessions with someone else, to cause the impairment of. And the enemy will try to get us to make concessions with him, which will cause the impairment, our inability to see clearly. The enemy will come in and say, it's okay to have passion on Sunday morning for an hour and a half, but that's not the real world. Come on, get with the flow. You know what's going on in life. When God wants you to carry the passion of the Lord everywhere you go. Amen? And so we can't compromise and make concessions in our life. Compromise produces indifference. Indifference is a lack of concern or interest. And indifference will produce apathy. Apathy is the absence of passion or excitement, a lack of interest in or concern for things that others find exciting or important. And apathy will produce defeat. If David had begun to compromise and walked in indifference, then apathy, he would have never gone after the enemy. He wouldn't have seen the value in it. Lord, help us if there's any compromise in our life. In closing, and then I want the worship team to come up here, and I just want us to sing and declare who our King is this morning. He's Victoria. Where is our worship team? Oh, okay. Come on up here. when a conquering Roman general returned to the capital city of Rome. So you'd have a general out there conquering lands. He'd return to the capital city of Rome. There would be thrown in his honor a parade. And all of the people would come out and they would shout praises to the general and his commanding officers. And they would ride in chariots with white horses. And what they would do, they would have the defeated foes chained in shackles following after the general and his commanders, demonstrating that they were a defeated foe. Well, that's exactly what Paul is saying in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. I've got a PowerPoint with the scripture up there. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to describe it for you. He's describing that this is what happened through the cross. Jesus has triumphed over the enemies of God through his death, burial, and resurrection. Now he's entering his kingdom in a great victory parade. Jesus is crowned with many crowns. Satan and his demons are disarmed and publicly displayed as vanquished. And you and I are invited by the King himself to march as more than conquerors in his own victory parade. The truth is, you didn't deserve it, but in Christ we get it. Man, if I could encourage you to do something, if you've got the YouVersion, it's free. It's a Bible app that you can download. And on it, you can type in reference. Just type in the word "in Christ" and begin looking at all of the promises that we have in Christ. In Christ, in Christ. Develop an arsenal, a weaponry of God's word and his name and his blood and power and praise and who we are in Christ. This is the foundation for your own victory on the worst day of your life. No matter how bad things may seem, you are being led in triumph. You are in the victory parade in Christ. And it's from this position of victory in Christ that we launch our attack. So I'm going to ask you to stand up this morning. And I want to encourage you with something. If you've lost your zeal to fight, will you repent and say, "God, help me? I'm going to take up the passion once again to fight. I'm going to get back in the battle. Lord, begin to put in my arsenal." Man, you need to go to the Word. If you need a word from God, get in God's Word. "God, I'm going to go after that arsenal. Man, healing has been attacked in my life. Generational curses have been spoken. But by the blood of Jesus, I'm set free. I'm going to fight for that. Lord, I'm not going to roll over and say, what comes, what happens, happens, what is, is." No, I'm going to stand in the gap and I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight for the salvation of my sons and my daughters.
That's right.
Amen? I'm going to fight for joy, for hope. I'm going to fight for passion. I'm going to fight for the next generation. And so I say, let faith arise in you. I just want to pray a prayer. It's not you, it's Christ in you. Do you hear me? It's not you getting any better, but it's you enacting or allowing God's power to flow through you and using the arsenal he's given you. So I'm going to pray for an infusion of faith this morning, and then as we praise God, we're just going to send some demons fleeing this morning over South King County, over your marriage, over your children, over your health. Amen?
Amen?
Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, what do we do on the worst day of our life? We attack the enemy. We go after. He's in a losing battle. You're victorious, Jesus. We use the arsenal that you have given us, Father. We are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. And this morning I ask for an infusion of faith in the name of Jesus. Lord, especially over our men, over our fathers, over our husbands, where the enemy has said, there's no value in our culture. We've tried to diminish the value of fathers. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of David would rise up within us, the Holy Spirit would empower us, that we would say, I don't care what happens, I'm going after the enemy. My wife, my family, my children, our neighborhood, our place of business, they're worth fighting for. I just say, come, Holy Spirit of God, and release your church to walk in the authority that you have given them. Lord, I pray that you would break any demonic lie. If you're hopeless today, that tells me you're believing a lie of the enemy. Let hope arise in your heart. Expose that lie. I'm hopeless. God, put truth. Put truth in me. Where you feel hopeless, ask the Spirit of the Lord to speak the truth over that situation. If you feel hopeless about a family member, it's the enemy lying. But make a commitment. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to fight. I'm going to declare the victory that I have in Christ. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just position ourselves in you for victory. Now hear the praises of your people as we lift up your name. Amen and amen.